B-Pod Studios.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show. Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're listening to Weird Beard, Robbie Landis, and someone who's still having a hard time understanding how PC gaming is supposedly superior, me, James Campbell.
You're going to die with this on your tombstone of just being like, go to hell, PC gaming,
yes.
James Campbell.
See, everybody, PC gaming is far superior.
I have 10,000 times more problems trying to play a game on a PC.
The problem is, James, I think that like your birthday just somehow fell like on just barely the wrong side of like the people who just who for the life of them can't get technology to work, and then those that just have no problem with it. Like you were like right on the line, and
something's
just
going on.
It's
going
to curse you for the rest of your life.
I will say that little gremlins live in PCs more often than they do in consoles.
Well, I think I have about
more
four
room.
Families.
Yeah,
there's
more
my
room.
PCs yeah. in my house. We asked on social media over at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook, what was the first game you had to use a guide for? We're going to talk about your answers in just a moment, because first, we are going to discuss our answers.
I'll go ahead and go first, and I remember this quite vividly. I believe, as far back as I can remember, it was actually Final Fantasy VII.
I'm glad he's actually admitting to using a guide, because I thought Robbie Landis would be like, yeah, I've never done that. When I
first played Final Fantasy VII, it was actually a demo disc, not the actual game. That's what turned me on to it. Mm-hmm. And so you got to play like the first, I think, 10 minutes in the first boss battle.
Become like free with a magazine, like a Game Informer magazine or something?
Yes,
yeah,
but here's the issue, and I know that I'm not the only one that had an issue with this. In the first boss battle, there's a translation error, and the boss puts his tail up. And if you counterattack him, he hits you with his devastating laser, right? So the game tries to tell you that. It goes, attack with his tail, or it says, if you attack with his tail up, he'll cut, or no, what was it? His tail's up, he's going to counterattack with a laser. Attack him while his tail is up. Like, it tries to warn you, but the way that it's translated, it says, well, his tail's up, get him. So me and my friend spent like a half an hour trying to beat it, and every time we'd attack him, he'd kill us. We're like, why? What is going on?
Yeah.
Like, we're doing what it tells us to do.
It tails up, and I keep dying.
Right. So we looked it up in you know, on the internet at the time, very, very, very early. This is back in 97, 98.
It was dial-up.
Yeah, it was dial-up, and you had to like really search around for what you were looking for. But eventually we found it's like translation error. Don't attack when it's tails up. And easy enough to beat after that. But... yeah, that was my first one.
What about you, Weird Beard?
I spent money on my first walkthrough that I had to. I don't know if you remembered or even knew about this, but there used to be a video game hotline to where you could call in and they would
like charge, the Nintendo hotline?
Yes, and
yes.
They would charge you per minute when you would call in. Mm-hmm. I had to do it for an RPG called Legend of Dragoon. And
I remember Legend of Dragoon. Wait, hold on. How young were you at this time? Your parents actually like gave you like
he
a credit
get
card?
Permission from
yeah,
his
really.
Parents.
Like you it's built to your phone bill. Like yeah. You just hope that it goes in there like an adult movie charge and hope that your parents don't notice it and they
did
just
they,
pay it off.
Did they find out?
No, because it was at my friend's house.
Oh,
so his parents had to pay for it.
We would call the game chat line too from friends' houses, like
exactly.
With the parents that like weren't really present.
Exactly,
you know? It's the parents that are like, well, I got these kids, but I don't really know what to do with them. So just go play games.
And so we got a code to a kind of a oblique part that we were stuck on and didn't want to do anything on. And it was the most terror was like, okay, we got to punch through this menu as quick as possible, like here and here, because you had to like. Key in on the keys where you were at in the game.
Oh,
and then
man.
It was a pre-recorded. Yeah. It was the cheapest option because it was a pre-recorded walkthrough and you had to like be scribbling notes. And the thing that did it in for me was we missed it and we hung up and we went and tried to play and we realized we didn't get the part we needed.
And
so we had to call back again and do it all.
Do you remember we had a three or a four first? we don't remember the way to get to the answers.
What about you, James?
For me, I mean, I used to use like Nintendo Powers because they'd have like the little maps
that counts.
The levels and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I would say like the actual true guide that I bought specifically for a game is for Fallout 3. Because I've tried playing Fallout 3
one.
About three or four times. Mm-hmm. And there's a point once you get out of the shelter, mm-hmm. once you get out of the
vault.
The vault, thank you. Once you get out of the vault, you're on your own. You can do whatever you want. So I found the first town. And then once I got to that first town, Megaton, I'm like, I don't know what to do next. And I didn't realize you had to go through like the subways and find the other spots. So I tried playing the game five times. And finally, on the fifth time, I was like, I'm going to buy the guide because I'm like, I see potential in this game.
That's honestly fun.
One
of the best things about buying a guide for the Fallout games isn't necessarily for it to tell you where to go, but just getting the map that shows you where all the points of interest
are. Very helpful.
Are. So yeah. you still get to experience the game, you know, as though you're playing it for the first time, but just making sure you're not missing anything.
Yeah, because I was so new to Fallout, I'm like, okay, this next spot on the map is this grocery store that's abandoned. I need to go in here.
Am I supposed to be here?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like hacking all these computers and fighting all these raiders and stuff off. But I'm like, I don't even know if this is a part of the game. What am I doing right now? And then I bought the guide, and I fell in love with Fallout 3 after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look at some of the responses that we got in social media. We got one from Chad here that says, LaGaia 2. There was one rainbow puzzle that I spent 2 days trying to figure out before cracking and looking it up. You know, nowadays, with the ease of access, you know, basically having it in our phones.
Oh, yeah, this is probably 4,000 YouTube videos you find in 2 seconds.
It's so easy. Like, people will put everything on. So this is a question I have for you guys. How long do you wait when you're stuck on something in a game before you crack and go and look up a guide?
Well, my rule is
I don't know about that one.
I could go longer, but it's only because I have a rule that once I look at a guide, I can go back to that guide as many times as possible.
Oh.
So it's like once you break the seal, what I mean?
Then
you can
go check it out.
Yeah, you can just do whatever.
Yeah.
So like if I'm going, can't look at anything if I want to keep the ending and the rest of the game secret to myself.
If it comes to like difficulty, let's say it's a boss I'm having trouble beating, right? I'll wait as long as I can. But if it's something like if I'm looking for like collectibles, like I know that something's here, right? Like it says in the map, this is where it's at, but I can't find it. Those I'll look up almost instantly because it's wasting time.
Quest,
I'm walking circles in an area. Just get me out of here.
I get it.
What about you, James?
I'll give it about 15 minutes if I can't figure it out. Give me my phone. I don't got time for this. I need to find out how to beat this boss.
All right. Jeremy says, we had a map for The Legend of Zelda from a gaming magazine, and my dad let the owner of West Coast Video Store borrow it. And never got it back. My dad still brings it up every once in a while.
I'd be mad as hell, too. Yeah, like, somebody from a gaming store stole it from me. I want it back.
That's a collector's item.
Let's see. Rich says, Kingdom Hearts. I didn't need a walkthrough to beat the main storyline, but I did need it to get 100% completion on secret boss, side quest, and crafting
items. So, wait, this is a game that has secret bosses? Like, you have to secretly find these bosses?
So many games have secret bosses.
Yeah, come on. Are you kidding, James?
Like, Final Fantasy games are notorious for having a final boss and then a secret boss that's the actual final
boss. One of the best ones in Kingdom Hearts is you can actually fight Sephiroth, the one-winged angel, who is actually the main bad guy.
So, he's the bad guy in Final Fantasy
VII? Final Fantasy VII, yeah.
And he's a secret boss.
Tough. Yep, yep. Wow. You have to fight your way through Hercules' Colosseum to be able to fight him.
Hercules is in this one too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Man.
Matt says, Pokemon Red and Blue. I had to wait till Nintendo Power put out their mini insert guide to get past Silph-Co. Wow, showing my age with that one. Okay, I feel that. That's legit. Silph-Co was basically a building that was essentially just a maze with like teleporters, and they had like forced movement. Like they had these areas where when you stepped on a panel, it would push you a certain way into another one that would push you a certain way. And you basically had to, like, figure out the right way to go through it. It was terrible. It was so, so tough.
It sounds like so many kids, their first interaction with walkthroughs and stuff was, like, a Nintendo Power.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, I mean, back in the 90s, like I said, when it comes to guides online, you didn't have the ease. YouTube wasn't a thing, right?
No, that stuff wasn't available.
So when you were looking for guides, they weren't even video guides. They were just people that took the time to type up their own FAQs. I went to it was a place called GameWinners.com. Now it's Game Facts.
I remember Game FAQs where I would go and watch the
walkthroughs. Yeah, that's still a place.
That's still around.
That's still a place.
Wow.
I'll actually prefer to use that and like read through as opposed to watching a video.
Because there's no pictures, so there's still more elements of surprise.
Well, plus the videos all start the same way. Hey, guys, what's up? Yeah. Welcome back to my channel.
Make sure you click that like button and subscribe.
And then you have to like try and
drop
like
a comment.
Find your way through the video. If I'm looking through text, like I know exactly where to go. I just get the information that I need. I don't have to listen to someone who sounds like Weirdbeard yelling. In my ear.
That's what I was going to say.
Shots fired.
It's me on YouTube all the time.
All right, finally, we have Ivan who just says, Gex, enter the gecko.
And that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening to us on your radio station. Make sure you head on over to checkpointxp.com. Check out the Checkpoint XP on campus. Get the latest info on what is going on in the world of collegiate esports. Check out the new show with Norris Howard and Jacob Brothers as they talk collegiate League of Legends and Overwatch players and how you could be one too. New episodes every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. A big thank you to Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and producer Callie for helping put this episode together. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Checkpoint XP. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the show, and we'll talk to you again on the next level.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.